Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everyone. All right. How many are excited to be here this morning? All right. It's about 50-50 right there. How many are excited to be in the house of God this morning? Amen. I'm honored to be with you all. Jesus is here, and that is the most important thing. I felt him when I walked in. I felt him during the worship. I feel him now. And that tells me one thing, you know, where Jesus is, anything can happen. How many of you believe that? You know, that's what makes this an unordinary service. That's what makes this a all different faith altogether, if you will, from, and I tell people all the time, there's all kinds of religions, there's all kinds of faiths, there's all kinds of beliefs. People have holy books, people have their gods and their, gurus, their teachers, their so on and so forth. But the thing that separates us, and not that we're the only ones preaching this word, but when we preach this word, this holy book, things happen. You know, there were other people that came before Jesus and claimed to be God, claimed to be a Messiah, claimed to be a Savior. You look it up in history, it's there. They had followings. But the difference was when Jesus came onto the earth, miracles actually happened. The impossible became possible. Everyone else was just talk, as you would say, just blowing hot air. But when Jesus came, he came with authority. And when he looked to the one that was dead and said, "Arise, Lazarus, come forth," all of a sudden, the impossible on the fourth day became possible. And so I'm telling you that same Jesus is in this building. And that's what separates us this morning. I wish somebody get excited about that just for a moment. Because Jesus is here today. The miracle worker, the kingdom of heaven is at hand this morning. Yes. Amen. And I'm excited about that. As you're standing, I won't keep you standing much longer. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. And I want to honor your pastor and his wife. They are amazing, outstanding people of God. And they got so many things organized here in this church. And my mother-in-law came here a while ago, and we talk about it from time to time. She said, "Man, they make me look like, you know, like I'm unorganized." You know, that's what my mother-in-law said. And so they've got some things together, and we're grateful for that, because in order to grow, you need a strong foundation, a strong structure. Amen. And people of God that are going to lead you with love and are going to love God with everything they have. And I believe you have that here this morning. Amen. If you love them, you love their family, would you give them a round of applause? That would be all right to honor them this morning. Amen. And I also want to honor Brother Chris, who's right over there, is a good friend from Bible College. Some of you all know him. Amen. Would you give him a round of applause too? That's all right. And his wife. I believe they're newly married. Is that right? Amen. So I'm grateful to see them. Good friends. And last but definitely not least, I want to honor my wife and my son who is with me today. I love them very much. They are amazing people. Would you go ahead and give them a round of applause? That's all right. My wife, she's a prayer warrior and helps me a lot in that aspect of the ministry. She'll get to praying with the help of the Lord here in the altar. And I believe my son is asleep. And so normally he's a pretty good worshiper. You know, he'll start running the aisles and what you all would call shouting and screaming and stuff. That's actually what I call worship, you know. So all those babies that are crying out there, they're not crying. They're worshiping. Just get along with them. Is that all right? See, when you have kids, you got a whole different perspective. Anyways, 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" Or turn to your neighbor and say, "What do you have?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Notice she thought that what she had was not enough. She says it right there that "I have nothing in the house," or "I have not anything in the house save a pot of oil." And then he said, "Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and shall set aside that which is full. And so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel, bring me another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Would you put your Bibles to one side? Let's ask the Lord to be with us here this morning to align our hearts with his word. Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to be in this house. Would you lift your voice with me, everybody in this building? Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to be here. I ask that you would anoint my mind. Would you loose my tongue here today? Would you remove my will, that your will be done here in this place? I loose the gift of faith and revelation and understanding here today. We thank you and we love you, Lord God, for what you've already done and for what you're going to do here today. We give you all the glory and all the honor. Would you worship the Lord with a hand clap right now? Would you clap your hands unto the Lord, everybody in this house? Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, tell him you love them, tell him you like what they're wearing. And you may be seated after that. Shake their hand all around you. Can I get just a little bit more monitor up here? Just a little bit more monitor. I want to preach tonight and be able to still speak to you, be able to still have a voice. Thank you. I want to talk to you for a brief moment along these lines. If you will, he will. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you will, he will. It's actually really simple, and it's not very deep, if you will. I might not get into the Hebrew or the Greek, but it's a very important message that we all have to understand in the Word of God. And it's really simple, that if you'll step out, if you'll do what you can do, then God will show up. How many of you believe that? It has been confirmed several times through this worship service by your pastor, by the other leaders that came and got behind this pulpit, by the songs that were sung, that when we lift our hands, if you would be able to put that up, that'd be great. There's a song that says something about if we lift our hands and we worship, then darkness flees. I don't remember the name of it. Almighty One. There you go. Would you put that up for a moment and bring it to that verse if you can? And I want you to understand here today that there is a principle in the Word of God that as believers, if we will follow, then we can receive miracles and we can receive what God has in store for us. And I'll give you one confirmation of what God is going to do here today. But to say, when I lift my hands, when I move my feet, when I open my mouth, then the darkness flees. And so you realize that it starts with us. It starts with you first. That when I decide to push beyond what's going on around me, and I decide to forget about what people are thinking beside me, and I lift my hands and I move my feet, people might laugh, people might think it's weird, but when I open my mouth to glorify God, then in that moment, that's when God responds, and that's when God does the impossible. That's when God does the unthinkable. That's when God does what only God in heaven can do. A God that called light out of darkness in the beginning can call light out of darkness today, as long as you're willing to push beyond yourself, to push beyond the norm, to say, well, I'm going to lift my hands even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to move my feet even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to open my mouth and give a shout of praise even when it sounds funny. It doesn't matter what's going on beside me, because I realize that if I will step out, that God will do the miraculous. Jesus is here today, and if you will couple your faith and your works by your faith, God will respond to him that believes. Would somebody try that for a moment? I feel Jesus sweeping into this building. Would you put your hands together and would you shout unto God?
Yes! Hallelujah!
If you all keep it up that way, I might not preach very long at all. Is that all right? We're going to let Jesus have his way. In 2 Kings, this widow woman, her husband had died, and she had her two sons. And the Bible says the prophet walked up to her and said, look, go get something that you have. What do you have to give God, or to go ahead and allow God to do this miracle? She says, look, all I have is a little pot of oil, and I don't know exactly how big it was, but probably wasn't much bigger than this. And so therefore the prophet says, go get as many vessels as you can find. And he gives her a key. He says, look, don't borrow a few, but get a lot, you know, get as many as you can find, as many doors as you can knock on, as many people as you can talk to, many neighbors and friends you have. Go get vessels, all of them. Tell them you'll pay them back later. Just do whatever you can do to go ahead and get as many vessels as you can find. And I believe that this woman, she went ahead and she got as many vessels as she believed that God could fill. And so therefore, if you go into the scripture and you read, as we read, that she brings all of these vessels into the room, closes the door behind her, and she begins to pour. And at this point, this woman does what only she can do in the natural, meaning that she could not multiply the oil that was in the pot. Think about this for a moment. We cannot do the supernatural. She could not produce more oil than this bottle can hold. That's impossible for a human being to do. It goes beyond every bit of physics and logic and law and science and what and whatsoever when it comes to that particular thing. We cannot do the impossible on our own, but God requires that we would do what we can do in the natural. And so she gathered all the pots, told her sons, go get as many vessels that you can find. When she gathered all that she had in the room, she closed the door and she began to pour, still only doing what she can do in the natural. And then all of a sudden, God, I believe it went down this way, a God in heaven who loves his children, who's ready to give them good gifts, greater gifts than you could ever give, realize, wait, hold on, there's a woman down there that loves me, that believes the words of the prophet, that is doing what she can do in the natural. So therefore, me being God, I'm going to do what only I can do in the supernatural. And so I tell you today that if you can do what only you can do in the natural, by clapping your hands and stomping your feet and shouting unto God, even when it doesn't feel right, even when you haven't yet been healed, even when you haven't yet been delivered, then God in heaven was going to come down and begin to do the supernatural in your life. What I'm telling you today is don't wait for Jesus to knock you out of your pew, to pull you out of that pew and drag you to the front. Just get down to where it's happening before it ever happens. Because if you will, God will do the miraculous. He said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Knock and it will be opened. Seek and you will find. I'm telling you, it starts with you today. Would somebody here begin to show God, I mean business, about receiving a miracle? I'm not going to wait for another revival. I'm not waiting for tonight. Right now is my time to receive a blessing from Almighty God. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord? I feel Jesus here in this room.
Yes! Hallelujah!
Tap your neighbor and tell him, just give it a try. Just give it a try. Come on, would you clap your hands, everybody in this room? I'm telling you, I feel Jesus here right now. God is doing the miraculous. He's going to do it here today. Jesus said it, that if you'll say to the mountain, be thou removed, and you believe without doubting in your heart, then the mountain will be then cast into the sea. In other words, the impossible can happen, but you have to step out. He said to say, to ask, to seek, to knock. He's letting you know, if you will do these things, then I will show up. People say all the time, well, brother Jesse, what happens, you know, if it doesn't happen? Let me explain something to you that I feel the enemy has tried to creep in and bring doubt into our lives. Let me tell you something. There is no scripture in the Bible that tells us you and I need to be worried about if and when it doesn't happen. Jesus didn't and say, well, go ahead and believe. And if it doesn't happen, then so on and such and such. No, it doesn't say any of that. All it says is to believe that I will do it. It doesn't give you any precedence for when or if it doesn't happen. And so I'm here to let you know that if your mind is worried about, well, what if it doesn't happen or it hasn't happened before? So how do I know this is really my day? Or how do I know this is really my morning, my service where I'm going to be healed? Forget about all that, because that's a lie from the pits of hell. That's what the enemy would like you to think. But if you're a believer here today, all you have to do is have faith that he will do it and watch God show up. All you have to, your only job is to believe that he can and believe that he will. I feel revelation going forth. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible. There's no way. It cannot happen. You cannot give enough money without faith to move God. You cannot worship and praise enough without faith to move God. Everything we do is by faith. And then the scripture goes on that for he that cometh to God must believe. Everyone shout believe. That he is, you must understand that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so that woman that brought all of the vessels, she did what only she could do. But I believe she brought as many vessels that she had faith for God to heal. But that was a resemblance there of how big she believed God really was, and how big God was to her. And so her faith, or the amount of vessels she brought, revealed her faith, but her faith revealed how big she believed God really was in her life. And so that means, that shows me that she really indeed believed that God is. She probably believed that he was a deliverer, also that he was a miracle worker. And I'm here to let you know that if you will believe that God is a deliverer, that God is a miracle worker, that God is a healer, that God can do the miraculous, that God is a provider, if you will believe that today, that is all that you need, is your faith and your works by you. I'm telling you here today that God is going to do the miraculous. I didn't come to church to see what you were wearing or to hear what they were going to sing. I came today to be a part of the move of Jesus Christ and what is going to happen today. I came to be a part of the miraculous that's going to happen. I want you to try this just for a moment. If you've already done it, great. If you haven't, I want you to try this. Would you just clap your hands unto the Lord? Would you do that? Just put your hands together. Now, would you give your voice just for a moment, and would you just shout Jesus or say hallelujah? Would you do that all over this building? You feel that? Do you feel that? Say amen. God is responding to the praises of his people. God is responding to what it is that you are doing. And so when we step out, I want to tell you that if you don't feel like worshiping, if you feel overloaded from the holidays or all the food and whatever else is going on, I'm here to let you know that right now is the best time to worship. When you don't feel like it, that's the best time to worship. You want to know why? Because that means the enemy has done everything he can to try and stop you from receiving what God is about to give you, from what God is about to do in your life. And I was sitting there a moment ago. I wrote this down on my phone, and I begin to realize what God was telling me, that as some of you have sacrificed and prayed, your pastor told me that you have been fasting, many of you, and as some of you have done that here throughout this week and throughout the beginning of this year, and you will continue throughout the beginning of this year to lay a great foundation for what God is going to do. I'm wanting you to understand that those doors are going to be open. It is not a matter of if, but it's all a matter of when. As long as you will continue to believe, as long as you will continue to take every step in faith, believing that God is going to do it, faith unwavering, believing and knowing that God is going to do it. I hear people tell me all the time, Brother Jesse, I believe that God is able. You know, I believe that God can. How many ever heard somebody say that? I really believe. I believe that God is powerful. He's a miracle worker. And all the stuff you just preached, man, I believe all of that. But I just don't know if He will do it today. I just don't know if He will do it for me. I just don't know. I believe He can because He's God. There's no doubt about it. How many of you heard somebody say that? I want you to understand something. I also believe that God is able, and I also believe that God can, but I also believe that God will. Well, that's a few of us, because now we're putting God to the test. Now we're really stepping out on a limb and saying, well, if it really works, if what's in the Word of God really works and it's really true, then it has to be true for me today. And so I believe blind Bartimaeus understood this way, because the Bible says he sat on the highway, and as he sat on the side of the road, he waited for Jesus to come into his town. And this man was blind, meaning he was handicapped, meaning he did not have the strength that others had. And so therefore he probably had to hear the commotion and maybe have a friend with him to say, hey, look, man, when Jesus comes to the town, let me know. So because I want to go ahead and get his attention, because I'm not going to let him pass me by. And so blind Bartimaeus had a determination that understood, look, if I will step out for a moment, then God will do the miraculous. There's no way he can deny that in my life. And so Jesus begins to walk through his town. It makes me think of a Sunday morning service, because Jesus walks through our building. Jesus walks through our hearts. Jesus comes into this atmosphere. And some people say, well, when Jesus decides to heal me, that'll be the time that I get healed. It doesn't happen that way. I'm here to let you know that we've got to be like blind Bartimaeus, who sat on the side of the road and said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I don't know if he even went in the right direction, but all I know is that he shouted loud enough to get Jesus' attention. He wasn't waiting for another moment for Jesus to walk through his city. He realized, I have to get a miracle today. And if I will believe, then God will do it today. Peter walked on water not because Jesus transported his body out of the boat and onto the water. It doesn't happen. And Jesus didn't start moving his legs. I know it's real practical. I understand it's not in the Hebrew and the Greek, but understand this is the word of God that Peter had to decide on the words of Jesus, come. That's all that Jesus said was come. And now Peter decides, okay, I have to actually put one foot over the boat and out onto the water. Now I've got to get the other one and put it out of the other side of the boat, and I've got to get onto the water. And at that point, I've done all that I can do. At that point, there is nothing else that I can do. And now Jesus has to do the miraculous. Jesus has to show up. Let me tell you something. Jesus desires to show up. He desires to do the miraculous. He is looking for someone. He said, I haven't found such great faith in all of Israel. He was just waiting for someone to have that kind of crazy faith. You know what I believe? I believe it's in the room today. I believe it's in the room today. I believe you don't have to walk out with the cancer you came in with. I believe you don't have to walk out with the disease that's been in your body. I feel the Holy Ghost. I believe you don't have to walk out with the depression that's been following you. I believe you don't have to walk out with the fear that's been sleeping with you at night. I believe it here today that God is going to give you peace in this moment. Would you lift your hands for a moment? I feel the Holy Ghost. Would you speak in tongues? If you have the Holy Ghost, just begin to speak with other tongues. God is doing something here now. I'm telling you, this is our moment, because I believe that He is.
Yes! Hallelujah!
Let's all stand together. Let's all stand. There's something happening here right now. We're just going to go ahead and scrap the rest of what's going on. Is that all right? We'll let Jesus have His way. I'm going to show you. Watch. God's going to begin to do the miraculous. How many of you believe that? Some of you say, I can't get to the front, Brother Jesse. I can't physically actually get there. Fear is tormenting me. Tell your neighbor to get you by the hand and pull you out of the pew and bring you. Here in a moment. We're going to do that. You can't physically get there because of your body, whatever's going on. Tell your neighbor to pick you up where it's appropriate and bring you on down to the front. Is that all right? Jesus told the lame man at the side of the pool three things. He was lame, so walking would have been the miracle, but Jesus said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. When he would go ahead and rise, meaning he would get up on his own, all by himself, he had to show Jesus he meant business. And shortly after that, he had to take up his bed, and once he had taken up his bed, that showed Jesus, I'm not going back into my bed of affliction once I'm already healed. I'm not going back to the pills. I'm not going back to the frame of thought. I'm not going back to the fear or to the depression. I'm not going back to the suicidal thoughts. When the enemy tries to creep in, I'm going to let him know, wait, hold on. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Devil, you've got to go, not because of me, but because of the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus over my body. I plead the blood of Jesus over my house. I plead the blood of Jesus over my family. I'm telling you today that backsliders this year are going to return back into this house. They're going to be saved. They're going to meet Jesus again. And they're going to be covered by the blood. I'm telling you, it's going to happen here this year. I prophesy it to you in the name of Jesus that God is going to restore those that have left him here today. I watched a young girl in Missouri as you're standing, and I'll say this last thing, 12 years old, had not gone to church very long, did not realize or maybe know all that some of you know about this church and this Bible and Jesus Christ. And I remember preaching and telling them, look, just get to the altar and believe that by the time you get here, you will be healed. I know it sounds like a crazy, bold statement, but I believe that same way today because that same Jesus is here in this house. And so she decided to come down to the front all by herself, 12 years old. And she decided, I'm going to go ahead and go down there. Well, the problem was she was deaf in both ears. And I didn't actually know that she was deaf in both ears, but I watched her come on down and she began to pray like everyone normally prays. And all of a sudden she told me after the fact, she looked at me after we walked down and asked her what was going on. She said, as she was there, she said, look, you said that if I get down to the altar and believe that God has healed me, then he has healed me. Then I believe that he will heal me. And so she said, I wanted to try to see if this thing was really real. If somebody will do that today, it'll happen. How many believe that? And so she decided without her mother's help or anybody else's help to walk on down to the front. And she said, when I got down to the front, she said, I have hearing aids in my ears. And her mom was telling me a lot of this and was telling me what was going on. And so after she said, I had these hearing aids in my ears to help me hear the lower beats and sounds and so on. But I am actually deaf and I was born that way. And she was talking all of this to her mom. And I remember she said, but I took the hearing aids out of my ears. And when I took them out, I just wanted to see if Jesus had actually healed me or not. That's a whole lot of faith. You know, it's like someone pushing away the cane and saying, well, I'm just want to see if Jesus healed me or not. It's like someone say, well, I can't really lift my arms because arthritis has really got me stuck. Well, I just want to see if Jesus healed me or not. I just, you know, fear has crippled me from worshiping God. So I'm just going to give it a try because I want to see if Jesus has really healed me or not. Because I'm telling you that if you will step out, then God will show up. And so in that moment, she took both hearing aids out of her ears. And a young girl began shouting her name. And without even realizing, she looked over to the young girl and realized that both of her ears had just popped wide open. A week later, she was listening to music with headphones in her ears, something she had never done before because of the power of Jesus Christ. And that same Jesus is in this building here today. That same Jesus is here right now. If you've got a need, would you raise your hand very quickly? How many of you believe God's going to do something? How many of you believe God's going to heal you? Some of you've got pain. Some of you have physical pain. Some of you have emotional things. Some of you got things going on the inside and no one can tell or understand about, and so on. Sicknesses that you can't feel. What's going to happen with some of you that can feel those certain sicknesses and situations? We're going to lift our hands here in a moment after we come to the altar, and you're going to feel the Holy Ghost come inside, and some of you are going to feel actual heat in your body. Some of you won't, but I'm telling you, when you feel that, it'll be a sign, an indication that Jesus Christ has taking care of what's inside, of what the enemy has tried to put in your life. I want you to understand something. Today, I know this is the first Sunday of the year. If you will live by this principle throughout this year, and I know your pastor is going to cast vision, and whatever he says next Sunday, is that correct? Whatever he says, that's what goes. But I just feel this in the Holy Ghost. If you will live this way throughout this year, and you will just go ahead and you will step out. Some of you got to give. The Bible says, guess what? Give and it shall be given unto you. And so you've prayed about financial situations. What you've got to do is come ahead and give. And when you give, all of a sudden, God takes care of the rest. And he gives exponentially. Some of you have to begin to worship. Some of you have to begin to pray. Some of you will begin to fast. And when you do these things, God is going to do the miraculous. And he's going to start here today. How many of you believe that? Would you clap your hands unto the Lord? Right now, every person that wants Jesus to touch your body, your mind, your spirit, whatever's going on, you just want more of Jesus. Will you show Jesus that you mean business, that you're serious about it? Come, this altar is open. Remain standing as you get here, but come, and come quickly. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it. If you're thinking about it, the enemy is trying to speak to your life and tell you, well, you know what? It's not really going to happen. Or tell you, well, I don't know about this whole church thing. That's kind of crazy. If you don't have a need, just come and help us pray with somebody. Make some room for those behind you, if you will. I'm going to lead us here in a prayer. Amen. Come. If you would fill in just a little bit closer so those behind you can come, that would be great. I want you to understand you're in the divine will of God here today. The impossible is absolutely possible. No doubt about it. What we're going to do all together is we're going to repent. We're going to ask God for forgiveness. Would that be all right? Can we do that? I'm actually going to ask your pastor to lead us in a prayer of repentance. And he's going to just lead you in a quick prayer of repentance. I'll lead us the rest of the way. But what I want you to understand is when you ask God for forgiveness, it happens just like that. God doesn't forgive like you and I. You know, my brother does me wrong here, and I make him wait a week before he can talk to me again. Yeah, all right. I got some honest faces. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. See, Jesus doesn't do that. He's already forgiven. When he died on the cross, your sins were forgiven. He's just waiting for you to go ahead and partake and ask of that forgiveness. You turn your sins and your sorrows and your shames and all of that in for forgiveness. Amen? So we're going to do that here. If your pastor would go ahead and be kind to lead us in that prayer.
Father, we thank you for this day, God. We ask, God, as we lift our hands and our voices before you, God, our hands lifted up as a sign of surrender, of obedience, God, of humility, God, that we give up, God, and you can and we can't, Lord. We ask that you'd forgive us of our sins, God. Anything we've said or done, God, thought, God, places we went, God, things we, God, partook of, Lord, people, places, and things, God, that we knew better, God, things, God, that we said we wouldn't, but we did, and we fell short, God. We had a low moment, God. We ask that you would forgive us, God. Oh, God, sins of commission, things that we did, sins of omission, God. Sins of knowing that we should have, but we didn't, God, as your word says, God. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth not good, to him but his sin, God. We ask today that you would forgive us, that you would have mercy on our soul, God, that you would create in us a clean heart, God, that you would renew a right spirit, oh God. Cleanse us and wash us. Make us white as snow, God. We believe today, God, that we've called on your name, that we've been buried in baptism in your name, in Jesus' name, God. We ask that today that you would forgive us again, God, as we, God, have been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, God. We're new creatures today, God, but that you would forgive us, God, as we make a fresh covenant with you this morning, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. There's a mighty prayer of repentance. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord? And would you thank God for a moment for forgiving you of your sins?
powerful. God's going to do it right now. You ready? God's going to do it right now. Are you ready? I'm telling you that absolutely anything can happen. There was a woman given only 1 year to live, had cancer in her brain. Her neighbor asked her, come to church. She didn't know anything about church. And she said, come to church. They'll pray. They'll believe. You'll be healed. Just that simple. You know, she didn't know if Jesus would do it or not, but she just realized, if I can step out and invite my neighbor who's got a problem, Jesus will be there. She'll have a need. That's a perfect combination for a miracle, right? All of you raised your hand and said, I've got a need. That's a perfect combination for a miracle. You've got everything it takes to receive something from Jesus right now. So she brought her friend. That lady walked up to the front with that cancer in her brain, given only 1 year to live, and lifted up her hands. She received the Holy Ghost after she had repented like you all did. She began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave her the utterance. It was very powerful. If you don't have the Holy Ghost today, God will fill you right now with the gift of the Holy Ghost, just like that. And what we're going to do all together here is like that lady did. She shouted hallelujah after asking God for forgiveness. I want to tell you also that 3 weeks later, after we laid hands on her in that service, 3 weeks later, she went to the doctor's office. They began to run some chemotherapy, run some tests before the chemo. They wanted to do some chemo. And so the doctors looked at her and said, look, we don't know what's going on, but you had cancer in your, or this cancer in your brain, but now you don't have any cancer. We don't know how to explain this, but you're completely cancer free. We don't need to do chemotherapy. It's been over a year and that lady is still breathing. Would somebody clap your hands unto the Lord? Jesus is going to do that kind of thing right now. Because if you will like she did, then he will today, just like he did before. He's going to do it because he's done it before. He's going to do it again. Right now, what I want you to do, we're not going to beg. Do not beg in your spirit. We are going to thank God. We are going to worship God. You're going to begin to clap your hands here in a moment. You're going to shout unto the Lord. You're going to worship in your own words. I'm going to speak a word of faith. Some of you have been dealing with fear and dealing with depression and dealing with different situations, suicidal thoughts and anger and anxiety and so on. If you have been dealing with these things, I want you here, every person in this place, to lift up your hands. Would you do that now? I'm going to speak a word of faith, and I'm going to say, everybody, let's shout hallelujah on the count of three. When you all shout hallelujah, you're going to feel the Holy Ghost come from the front to the back, and it's going to sweep all over this building, and all of a sudden things are going to begin to lift. Healings that need to happen are going to happen. I'm telling you, depression's going to leave. Fear is going to leave. Right now, would you lift your voice, every person in this house, and would you begin to thank God? Would you begin to worship? This is you doing what only you can do. This is you doing what only you can do in the natural. This is you here today. Come on, that's it. Somebody bring a vessel. Somebody bring a vessel. Somebody bring a vessel. Now. Yeah. That's it. All over this place. Right now, by the authority of the Word of God and by the power that's in the name of Jesus Christ, I command every depression, every fear, every pain, every suicidal thought, every cancer, every disease, right now I command it to leave. Arthritis, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody, let's shout hallelujah. 1, 2, 3, hallelujah.